Glory to God. Lord, I love you. I praise you, dear Jesus. I want to thank you. I want to thank you, Lord. Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. Oh, God, I love you. Praise the name of Jesus. Praise God. I have to admit, I really love that song. I hadn't heard it in a few years. And I appreciate my wife singing that. That kind of came out right after I got saved. And I remember singing that and just crying, thinking about how that God was there all the time and how wonderful it was that he would do that. I heard the fellow that wrote the song give his testimony one time. And he had been involved in a lot of rock and roll stuff. Somehow he was, I can't remember, he said he wrote over 1,000 rock and roll songs and never done one unless he was high on drugs. He got saved. I'll tell you, he got saved. The way he got saved was he was in Nashville, Tennessee, if I'm not mistaken. Said he'd get high and drunk, and he said he'd carry around a tape recorder. And we kind of come to himself. He'd listen to the tape recorder to see where he'd been and what he'd done. And anyway, he got to listening to the tape recorder. And evidently, while he's wandering around the streets of that city, he stumbled into a storefront church. And he heard them sing about Jesus and heard the message the preacher preached about Jesus. And he got saved. And so he said, you know, I'd never wrote a song except I was high. And he said, I was wondering if I could write a song to lift up Jesus. He said, I was real nervous about this. He said, it seemed like, you know, everything I'd done was high on drugs. And he said, I sat down to write my first Christian song, and that was his first Christian song. And I'll tell you, I'm glad Jesus was there for me. Hallelujah. Could we thank him one more time? I feel his presence here. Hallelujah. Lord, I thank you. I praise you, Lord. I worship you, dear Lord, in heaven. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God, glory to God. Praise the name of Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. He is so good to us, isn't he? I want to read from Acts chapter 11, if you'd like to read there with me. And Acts chapter 11 and verse 19 will be where I begin. Acts chapter 11 and verse 19, and says, and they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen, traveled so far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Then tidings of those things came unto the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch, who when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all, that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. But he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord.
That you can get a hold of Jesus and never let go. Cleave unto the Lord. Cleave unto the Lord. That was his encouragement. And I think that when he got the Saul of Tarsus, he said, I was glad what I saw about Saul of Tarsus. He'd seen the Lord in the way and he changed his life. And I want to encourage him to cleave to the Lord. And now he comes to these people in Antioch and he says, I'm glad for the change, but listen, don't let go. Amen. Don't get so involved even in church. Amen. That you forget about Christ. Amen. Sing the songs, but remember Christ. Amen. Remember it's all about Jesus. It's all about the Lord. You talk about an encouraging fire that can be built in every soul. It's when that we emphasize Jesus in our lives. So this encourager said, I want you to get a hold of Jesus and never let go. Amen. I think of the Apostle Paul and his admonition to Timothy about, I think it's even to the rich, where he says that they may lay hold of eternal life. Get a hold of it and don't let go. That's exactly the way that this man was encouraging these new converts and these believers. Now, what inspired this man? It says he was a good man. Now, that's important for us. Who we are spills over into everything we do. You, if you're a good person, and that's going to come out in your conversation and the thing. And so who he was an amazing part of how he could encourage. He was a good man, and this is another thing, and full of the Holy Ghost. He was not just a man that could point to a time back years ago. Maybe he was in the upper room. I don't know. The Bible doesn't say. I know he was there in the early days of the church, but he didn't just say, I was filled with the Holy Ghost in the upper room. No, he had an up-to-date, present experience full of the Holy Ghost. Let me also say this. Just like when you're a good person, that spills out. When you're full of the Holy Ghost, that spills out as well. You can't help but that come out. When you take a sponge and put it in the water, you can bring it out of the water. You can wring it out. You can throw it up against the wall. You know what's going to come out of that sponge? What it's full of. Amen. If it's water, that's what's going to come out. And in the same manner, if you're a good person and full of the Holy Ghost, that's what's going to come out when you're put under pressure. And this man was a good man, full of the Holy Ghost. He was able to encourage people. He's able to love people and bring them up. Maybe even, if I could say it this way, for the disciples' doubt of the Apostle Paul, it seemed to me that that was a question mark on the ability of Jesus Christ to really change somebody as bad as Saul of Tarsus. But you know what? With a little gentle rebuke, he brought Saul in there and declared what had happened and said, I believe it is so. Friend, I believe that God can help us even in an encouraging way to rebuke the wrong attitudes and correct the sinful ways even of people that's around us in the church. If God would help us, my friends, we can make each other stronger, more abler Christians. If God would help us and fill us up with such goodness, fill us up with the fruits of the Spirit, as well as the power of the Holy Ghost, we could be a mighty church because of the influence of one another upon each other. There's people that go through trials that we never know about. They come to the house of God with smiles and shake hands, and amen, you might find out about it later. You never know. I'll tell you, never, amen, the influence of a good church that's full of the Holy Ghost and goodness. Oh, how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. What's it like? It's like that oil that came down on the head of Aaron and flowed all the way down, amen, to his feet. That's how pleasant it is. And when the church comes together, amen, we receive strength from one another. If I may say it this way, sometimes I've known of people that got discouraged and stayed away from the house of God. And I don't know why that happens. And probably not any of you, but I'll tell you, if it ever does happen to you, amen, you're going to have to shake that off, because there's good people here that's full of the Holy Ghost that can strengthen you and encourage you just by their presence, maybe by their testimony, maybe by their song, maybe by a message, but by the presence of God that is here. Woo, hallelujah. Oh, glory be to Jesus. Amen. Is it a wonder where that they, amen, were added to the church? Much people were added to the Lord. When you have that type of encouragement and consolation, that's going to add people to the Lord. And that was Barnabas's desire, not just to bring them to where that they would center all about him, but it was all about Jesus. And then you notice not only did the church grow, but they were called Christians. I realize Brother Chip already said it was a derisive remark, and it most definitely was. But it also showed who they were owned by. Amen. Even it was a derisive remark because they derided Christ. And they were saying like, well, you're associated with him. You know, yes, I am associated with him. Woo, glory to God. And I'll tell you, folks, if we can get this type of spirit that is an encourager, I believe God will bless us to be worshipers of the Lord and the family of God, the true Christians of the Lord. Could we all stand here this morning? Let's raise our hands and give God a praise for his goodness to us. Lord, I thank you. I thank you, Lord. God, use us, I pray. Move upon us and help us to encourage those that's around us. Bless us, Lord Jesus, to be an encouragement just by our own overflowing goodness. Lord Jesus, use our church to be a blessing to people, Lord. Oh, Father, I love you. Oh, to the point that when folks come to church, they'd say, I was glad when they said, let us go to the house of the Lord. Oh, God, move by your grace. Move by your mighty power. Oh, in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. You know, every once in a while, there may be somebody that's failed and disappointed themselves. But you know, folks, we want to encourage them, don't we? We want the Lord to use us to establish them. And it seemed like God used Barnabas in a good way that way. And I'll tell you, I think that God can use us as well. There have been a few times I've heard some talk in other churches, and I thought, well, y'all must just have perfect people. And but I'm very proud of those failures, if I may say it that way, that God by his grace has used our church to establish them to where we've got confidence in them right now. Can I hear an amen? Amen. I know there was a time they disappointed us and broke our hearts, but I'll tell you what, at the same time, God used our church for the freedom of forgiveness and a love in our hearts. God used our church to help rescue some people. That's right. I'm not bringing up past failures. I'm bringing up present people's lives that we got confidence in. Amen. I'm just comparing it, saying, glory be to God. If God could use us, if God could use us to do that, oh, I want you to know that God can continue to move in our church and help us to win the worst of backsliders. Those that some might even scratch their head and say, I don't know if they're right or not. That God's able to help us. I don't know how that touched you all last Sunday. I know it was two Sundays ago when Brother Darrell told about that woman. That woman that had been in prison for extortion and something wrong with the funds. And she got saved there. Preachers worked with her and she got out. And they put her in a position there at the church. Now, I'm not saying that's an ever-time situation, but I will tell you, God used that to establish that woman. That was an encouragement. And I'm just going to tell you, later on, Brother Darrell told me who that was, and I know her. If you was to ask me a list, to put a list of women that had stole and been in prison, she would have not been in the top 100 names that I'd put on there. I'm just telling you the truth. If he hadn't have told me her name, I would have never known it. I would have never known it. And I don't think, well, boy, she was in prison. That's not what I think. I think, wow, God changed her. I'll tell you how he changed her. There were some people that encouraged her. They believed the grace of God was enough. I was reading a message by C.H. Spurgeon a little bit on soul winning the other day. And he was encouraging his church on soul winning. And one of the things that I thought was so good, he said, expect sinners to get saved. I read another time where he said, you know, a preacher came up to me and said, why? You just preach like you think sinners will get saved every time you preach. He said, well, how do you preach? Do you expect them not to? Listen, church, we need to have faith so high in the grace of God. And a God that answers prayer and wants to see sinners saved and wants to see people that's not established, that God can use us in faith to convey that to people. You know, I believe that Barnabas was so good at encouraging people because he believed God was so great and so readily available to help people. Yeah, come on, Paul. Come on, Saul. Hey, man, I believe your experience. I believe God could change your life. Come on, John Mark. Come on, buddy. Hey, man, God can do great things for you. Oh, yes. Listen, God's done great things for our church. He has, and I'm believing he can add to our church and multiply our church and do tremendous things in the future. Not because I'm greater, even, you know, flesh and blood around here has, but the grace of God is great. The grace of God is here. I'd like for us to come and pray that God would fill us up with his goodness and fill us up with faith, the word that we can touch people's lives and try to encourage them to do the work of God the way we need to. Hallelujah.